Okay, so we are up to the Likutei Shas. Perek Zayin, Pasek Gimel. I was on page Likutei Shas begins on page 521. And you know what? Because it goes into Pasuk Dalet, let's push it off for a little bit. Let's go to Pasuk Dalet first. Then we'll do Gimel and Dalet together, as the Dibur Maasel puts them together. Okay, let's see Pasuk Dalet. Toivam kichedek yashar mimi sucha yoim mi tzapecha pikudoscha va atosia mevu chosam. Obviously, those words are very, very cryptic. I'm not going to even try to translate. Let's right away jump into the Mitzvah Sovid for a bear. Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzvah Sovid, page 521. Toivam, hatoiv shevohem hu ki koitz machiv. The word chedek is a thorn. And if you look on the left side in the Mitzvah Sovid, it says there clearly ki chedek hu min koitz. It is a type of thorn. Here it says toivam, the good deeds, the hatoiv shevohem hu ki koitz machiv. In other words, everything is relative, and the best of society is not very good. The best of society can be no better than thorns. Yashar mimisucha mitzudastav v'hayashar shabohem hu kasha min hamechusa. What is a mechusa? Hu goder also al piroiv min hakoytzim. The word misucha, like a sukkah. Okay, mimisucha, it's like a sukkah. And here it means a shelter. It means he calls it a goder fence. And it's made from thorns. In the Mitzvah scene it says, Mimisucho hu agoder v'im hu besamach v'chein v'yosech Eloah ba'ado shelter. It was a certain type of shelter, a certain type of wall that was made from thorns. And the pasuk here is saying is that the yashorim, the people that are considered to be good people, they are mimisucha, they are no better than thorns, another type of thorn. Yoim mitzapecha, lochein, yoim shata mitzape lobo l'toivah, the day that you're yearning for it. Tzipisa li'yeshua. The word mitzapech comes from the word yearning. The day that you're yearning for good, pekudascha, yoim mitzapecha, lochein, yoim shata mitzape lobo l'toivah, ba, zichroin av, ba, will come zichroin avoynosecha bekabalas hagmol v'hinei ata b'zman karoiv. So mitzvah pekudascha means the remembrance of your sins. The day that you are yearning for good, only yom shata mitzape bo l'toiva va'a zichroin avoynosecha bekabalas hagmol v'hinei ata b'zman karoiv tiyeh mevu chosam u'bilbol daitam l'val yedu malasais. So he's saying over here is that and then the word mitzapech in this context means you have nothing good to look forward to. This that you're looking forward to, the best that you can look forward to is the punishment for your sins. And now it will be mevuchasa. Mevuchasa means you're in a thick forest. You're in a state of confusion where you have nowhere to escape from. Now the difficult part over here is the end of the pasuk. Yoim mitzapecha, l'chein yoim she'ata mitzapeh bo l'toiva, v'o zichroin avonosecha bekabolas hagmol. It seems to say that instead of a day of good coming, instead will come a day of reckoning. You are yearning for good things to come, and you know what's going to happen instead? Pekudoscha v'o. Instead, punishment, a day of reckoning to punish you for your sins. That is what will come. Ata siyeh mevuchas. Now it will be upon you, mevuchasam. Your confusion in the short time will come. He translates the word mevuchasam, bilbul hadas, a state of confusion, a state of a lack of clarity. Okay, so this is obviously a very difficult pasuk, so let's try to read it again one more time. Let's read that in the pasuk inside. Toivam kechedek, the good of you is like a thorn. Yashar Mimisucha, the people who are considered in society to be the Yesharim, in the eyes of Hashem, are really nothing more than Mimisucha, a wall of thorns. Yoim Mitzapecha, the day that you yearn for, Pikudascha Va, instead of good, I'm going to translate the word instead of good coming on that day that you're yearning for, what will really happen is the day of reckoning will come when Hashem will remember all of your sins and bring upon you punishment. The word pikudoscha means your remembrance. Like it says in the Pasuk, V'Hashem pokad es Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarah. Here, the remembrance is not for good. The remembrance is for bad, is for punishment because of all of your sins. Therefore, ata now, sihiyeh, it will be to you, mivu chosam, punishment. The punishment will come in the form of being in a state of confusion. Okay, that is one of the greatest curses, that a person does not have clarity of mind. To be able to think clearly, to be able to have a plan, this is an incredible blessing, and Rachmana Litzlan, when the person does not have the ability to concentrate and to be able to think clearly, it is a very, very great tsar. It's considered to be a very great punishment, a very great curse, almost, so to speak. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi over here says, Toivam kechedek. Rashi quotes the Targum. Tova di isbehoin keshe limipak min yidei kekad min chidka. The good that's in your hands is hard to remove from you like a thorn. What does that mean? So Rashi elaborates, Kosha lotzeis miyodoi kemo hakoitzim hanisbochim batzemer, like a thorn that is mixed into a piece of wool. If you have a piece of wool, okay, the sheep, they go out into the field, and every so often sheep, they come across some type of bush that's full of thorns, and the thorns get stuck in the wool of the sheep. When the shepherd later shears the wool, then first begins the difficult process of removing these little thorns that are stuck in the wool. It is not easy to extract those little thorns that are stuck in the fibers of the wool. According to the Targum Yonasan, as Rashi explains, that it's hard to extract from you a good deed. In other words, you go to a person and you ask them, can you please help us? Can you please give us some charity? Can you please do a chesed? And the person says, well, you know, I'm busy. All of my assets are tied up. I can't really give you any charity. I can't help you. I can't have time to do chesed. It's extremely difficult to find a person, to be able to convince a person to do a good deed. Having them do a small good deed is like trying to pull a piece of wool out of a thorn.
There is an expression like milk an ox.
Milk an ox.
You can't make milk from an ox.
Take milk from an ox. There's nothing to extract from the ox. So this is a very unique translation of the word. Let's read the Rashi one more time. Tava de is behoin, the small degree of good that is found within you, kishe lemipak min yidei, is difficult to extract from your hands, like kad min chidka. A thorn. Kad min chidka means, he seems to be translating the chidka as a thorn. Kad means from, I'm not really sure how the targum means with those two words, but Rashi does explain. Koshe lotse smiyadoi, it is hard to extract from your hands. Kemoi hakoitzim hanisbochim batzener. Next, yoshar mimesucha, yoshar shebohem, ra mimesuchas koitzim is worse than a wall of thorns. Okay, he explains, misucha kemo haser misuchasoi, which means remove the covering, remove the shelter. Okay, now over here, let's see what it says over here in the Sifzei Zekeinim. In the Sifzei Zekeinim, he goes and he elaborates a little more on the left side, the left of Rashi, he elaborates. Yashar b'mesucha, perish Rashi, Zal, Yashar shebachem ra b'mesuchas koitzim. We said it like Mar, ra the kosher yoiser we mesuchas koitzim the chen perish hachacham ibn Ezra we said the lemar lefish mesuchas koitzim ho asuyim legoder sov hakramim yeshchem gam midas toiv yosher bishmiras kerem. A fence, aka a barbed wire fence, serves a purpose. It prevents people from coming inside. So you can't say that the fence is worthless. When a person has a fence of thorns, the fence of thorns is very beneficial for the owner of the vineyard to prevent people and animals from entering. So there's a benefit in this object. Gam sha'isim ra lan noshim o'erim v'shad v'tzad ha'mesucho ha'mesuchas koitzim v'mashe o'ketzes o'isam ha'koitzim shalom. But on the other hand, there are innocent people that are injured. A person walking along the wall who has no intent whatsoever to break in and to rob and to steal, when he walks down the street and brushes against the fence, the thorns of the fence prick him and cause him pain. So how do we deal with this fence? Mitzad echad, on one hand, the fence is of great benefit to society, to the owner of the vineyard, of whatever on the other side. But mitzad sheni, it's causing harm to innocent bystanders. When people walk down, children, people who don't pay attention, and they brush up against this fence, they are injured. They get hurt. And these people don't really need a fence. They have no intent to come and break in and steal your property. Even if there was no fence, they wouldn't take a penny from you. So,
like barbed wire.
Exactly. That's what it really is.
There are laws to prevent people from doing
it. Oh, there are laws because even though you have a benefit of having the barbed wire, but it's a danger to society because people naturally, when they walk down the street, they brush up against the wall. There are many things like that. The things are there for a purpose to save you. So it's good and it's bad. So here the Pasuk says, according to the way he's trying to understand the depth of Rashi, you, the people in society, the Yesharim, Aval Yosha Shebohem, Rak Ra Kol Hayoim. So in society there are people, there are politicians, right? The politicians are there to do good. They're there to do good.
In theory.
But the problem is anyone that comes in contact with them just brushes up against them, gets stung, gets burnt. So he's saying that you are so evil, there is absolutely no benefit whatsoever. You don't even protect, at least this barbed wire fence protects a real criminal from entering. You don't even do that. This fence serves absolutely no, if a gun wants to come, he just steps right over the fence, opens up the door maybe. Hey, there's no lock. He opens the door and goes inside. And the innocent people, when they walk down the street and they accidentally brush up against the fence, are pricked and are hurt by the fence. So it turns out that this barbed wire fence serves absolutely no good purpose. If at least it would prevent the ganovim from entering, then maybe we can look the other way and say, Yotza hefseidoi b'scharoi. We can overlook the inconvenience and the bad that this fence brings to society for the better good, Gesundheit. But being the greater good. But over here, there is no greater good because the fence does not even prevent people from coming into the vineyard. Because if someone wants to come to the vineyard, all they need to do is open the door and walk inside. So that's what it is over here that you're even worse. This is what he tries to say in the meaning of Rashi. The Yesharim are people who are really meant to be in there in society for the benefit of society. It just so happens that very often, although they do provide benefit, they also do cause a lot of harm because they're corrupt. But at least to some degree, there is some benefit. We don't even have that. The officials, the people who are the so-called Yesharim, they bring nothing good to the table. There is no greater benefit, period. I'm not sure what he's referring to over here, there's a Masha. I did not look up this Marsha. The Marsha seems to have taken issue with this Rashi. The Marsha quotes this Rashi. He has a problem, but over here he's coming to explain the depth of what this Rashi really means to say. Okay, next Rashi. The next Rashi says, Yoim mitzapecha. Yoim she'atem mitzapim bo l'tova, tovoi pikudaschem. The day that you're yearning that will come, you're good. Everyone in life is hoping for a good day. Everyone is looking forward to make a simcha. This is what keeps us going in life. We look forward to something down the line. In every stage in a person's life, what keeps him going is you have something to look forward to. When you're a student, you look forward to graduating high school, elementary school. Then you look forward to the summer. You look forward to accomplishing something in high school, graduating high school, college, getting married, having children, then making a simcha, having a bar mitzvah, marrying off your children. You look forward to your grandchildren. You look forward to their simchas. In life, you're always looking forward to something. And if you think about it, this is what keeps the world going. Every person, to a degree, has in the back of his mind something that he is looking forward to, and he's able to deal and tolerate with all of the pain and aggravation and sorrow and frustration of this world because, okay, I'll accept it because I'm looking forward to the greater good or the event that will come down the line. But Rachmanu Litzlan, when a person has nothing to look forward to, that brings incredible deep depression. That's what happens. People have nothing. They don't see for themselves any future, anything of any value, that's anything significant down the line in their lives, and they shut down. Okay, it causes them to shut down because it's nothing to look forward to. So here it is, Yoy Mitzapecha. A person here has in life a day suddenly is looking forward to, and this is an incredible curse. And instead of that event that you're yearning for to come forward and true, instead on that day comes pikudoscha, a day of punishment, a day of tragedy, a day of difficulty. Again, the Rashi, yoim she'atem mitzapim bo l'tova, instead, tovoi pikudaschem will come upon you, your visitation. Hashem will visit, will remember the people and bring punishment in its place. Mevuchosam ir butzhoin. What is in ir butzam? Come on, nevuchim heim, they are lost. Umitargminon me'arbalin mehumosam amohumo, confusion. The pasuk puts atasiyam mevuchosam. Now you're going to be in a state of confusion, bewilderment, lacking clarity. It's incredible pleasure in life to have clarity in what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Chazal say, Ein simcha kehataras hasfekas. There is no greater joy in life other than the clarification of doubts. Person that has dilemmas, that has difficulties, does not know what to do, having clarity brings a person joy. And the lack of clarity brings a person a lot of agmas nefesh, and that's what it says over here. Now it will be a point of confusion. Now let's take a look at the Radak. Radak Pasuk Dalid on the page 521. Toiv b'chedek, atoiv shebochem hu kumoy hachedek hu kumoy hakoyit shehu machiv bo kol hanega anogea bo. The good of you, okay, he is not learning like Rashi. As he's going on to say, he begins to learn like the Mitzudas. The opening comment of the Radak is exactly the same thing that the Mitzudos David said. Toivim, the subject of the word Toivim, refers to the people. The people, the so-called good people of society, are thorns. They're thorns. Then he quotes the Targum. The Targum says, V'yonis antirgim tova divahoin kashya lemipak min yidei kad min chidka. Which I assumed it means, as Rashi elaborated. Rashi did not just take the words and cite the words like the Radak is doing. Rashi translated the words that it's hard to extract something good, which at least I'm assuming it seems to be saying is that when you need someone to do you a favor, you have to go work very, very hard. You have to send out a team of people to beg them, please, please help us. You have the ability to speak to someone on our behalf. You have the ability to give money. You have the ability to accomplish. We beg you, it's hard to extract from a member of society a good deed, On the other hand, you find sometimes when you want a chesed, when a rabbi makes an appeal and something needs to be done, there are so many volunteers, you have to push away people, you have to help people, dayenu, die, don't, we have enough help, enough money, enough help. It's not really have enough money. It never ever happened. You can never ever have enough money. That's a reality. Especially maybe a person, I don't know if even a person can have enough money, but an institution, there is no such thing in the world as an institution having more money than they need. Money goes like water. Open up a faucet, money in any institution just goes. There's never can be enough money, but volunteers and people who will do the job, sometimes too many cooks in the kitchen is not too good. You want to push away people, sometimes you have to only have people who are responsible. Too many people in charge leads to a disaster. And here it says, in this, it says to this, here it's the opposite. There's not even one person that's willing to come forward to persuade a person to do a good deed. Is like trying to get a thorn out of a piece of wool, which is not so simple. Next, words of the Radak. Yashar min mesucha, v'hayashar shebohem hu kasha yosem min ha-mesucha. The good people, the so-called good people, they're more difficult than the mesucha. What is the mesucha shehu? Geder hakramim sha'isim mikoytsim, which is made from thorns. V'yadis and tergim, u'de kashit behoin misgi'us siyog bish. The kasha means the beautiful ones among you, they are misgi'us siyog bish, are surrounded by a fence of embarrassment. I'm not really sure the depth of what that means. The yesharim are locked up. The people who are good people are with the kashit behind. Kasha means the beautiful amongst you. Misigus means they're surrounded by a fence of embarrassment.
No, isn't bish rock?
Shame.
Or rock?
Right, bish means rock, shame. Bish means evil. They're surrounded by a fence of shame, which means, I think it's obviously something very similar. The so-called good people are thoroughly corrupt. Okay, so, and you could imagine what...
Maybe they're surrounded by evil, so they're kind of locked in.
Okay, they're surrounding, that's what it means. It means really they're good, they have no opportunity. You want to suggest is that they have no opportunity to do good because they are surrounded by a society of evil and there's no place for them in society.
Or maybe you criticize them because if these are the good people, they should go out of their way, outside the wall.
Outside the wall.
Good.
But it could be they're locked in. Maybe he's saying is that they're locked in. Yashem and Mesucha is like in Sodom. If society does find there to be an honest person, they lock him up. They put him in prison. They surround him by thorns to prevent him from escaping from doing good. You can't, like today, like he's saying, they say, you cannot survive here. You cannot survive. An honest person cannot survive a day in the business world. Okay, so the people who are good, the Yesharim, the people who are Yesharim, they are surrounded by thorns of evil. They're prevented from expressing themselves, from doing good. Society does not tolerate good people. It's like Sodom. Okay, next. The next words are Memesucha B'samach B'sin. Okay, so he says, Min Haloi Ato Sachta Ba'adoi. The word Sachta with the sin means a shelter. I'm going to cover your way with thorns. Okay, so he says the word sucha, the samach and the sin are interchangeable. Both of them really mean the same exact thing. The word sach and the word sukkah, like a sukkah, a shelter, and the word sach with the samach are very similar. Okay, next, yom mitzapecha, yom nivi hasheker, shem mitzapecha, which are your seers, would promise you for lies. They will see that now the day of evil is here. Whether it's good, whether it's bad. So now we have a new interpretation of the Mitzudos from the Radak. And he's telling us what Mitzapecha is a code word for the Nevi'ei Sheker. Rashi and the Mitzudos did not give us this interpretation. The word, we know that a Tzoife, a Navi, is called a Tzoife, a person who gazes. The word Tzoife means to gaze into the future. The people believed in false prophets. And here the Radak understands Micha telling us Mitzapecha, the people who you look to as your leaders, as your Tzofim, who look into the future and tell you what's going to be and give you guidance, Pikudoscha Va, they are for you the source of punishment. Yeah, Tzoife. Tzoife. But there, in that context, it was a tzaddik. Tzoife is a word which just means a person who looks into the future. Har HaTzofim, the place where you can see the Har Bais. The look, from there you can see far. Tzoife. And the word Tzoife is used in reference to a Navi. And the word Navi is used many times as a Navi MS and a Navi Sheker. So here the word Mitzapecha means your prophets. What type of prophets are we referring to? The false prophets. They are Pikudos Chava. They are the cause of why your punishment will arrive. You have to read the words backwards. The reason why Pikudos Chava, your visitation, VeHashem Pokad Es Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah and she conceived. She had Yitzchak, Vatar Vatelet Bein. The word Pekuda, there's a difference between the word Pekida and Zichira. Zichira means Hashem remembers, but does not necessarily act upon that thought. We all, many times in life, you're sitting at home and all of a sudden you remember, you think about something, you think, just because a thought comes to your mind, that thought does not necessarily lead to action. The word Pekida generally means there is a memory, there is a thought, and that thought triggers action. Vashem pokad es Sarah, it wasn't just that Hashem remembered Sarah, he thought about her, oh, she's a tzadekes, she's a wonderful person, she did good deeds. No, Hashem thought about her and took action. And what was the action? He brought about that she conceived. Likewise here, Pikudoscha, it's often used in Tanakh to mean that Hashem remembers either your good deeds and now brings reward, or Hashem remembers your averos and brings punishment. Here it says, Pikudoscha va, your punishment has arrived. Now, by the way, over here it says va, this was last week's parsha. Everyone is familiar with the two vas of last week's parsha. Hine Rachel ba, she came with the sheep. Let me actually go through that. It's so relevant here.
For all the first,
we talked
about that. That and then in the
Megillah.
Ba, and then ba.
Ba. Okay, the Baal Kri. If you didn't do it correctly, then you're not yoytze. Okay, so what does it say over here in the pasuk? Yaakov arrives in Har Kedem, okay, in Aretz HaBnei Kedem, and there he finds the shepherds, and he says to them, Vayom Elohim Hayidatem Aslavan Ben Achar, Vayom Yodat, Vayom Elohim HaShalom Loi, Vayom HaShalom, Vayom Rochel Bitoi Bo'o Im Hatzayin. Now that's the first one. And then it says, "Vayom hein oid hayom gadol." Aidenu midaber imam v'rochel bo imatzay. Okay. So the question is, why is it the first time does it say v'nei rochel bito bo imhatzayin milara? The emphasis is on the second syllable, the last syllable, whereas in the Pasuk test, Aidenu midaber imam v'rochel bo imatzayin is on the first syllable. So what does Rashi say? Rashi Pasuk Vav says, Bo'o imatzayin atam ba'alef v'targumo asya v'rochel, but later it says, V'rochel bo ha'tam l'mala, b'beis, v'targumo osas, the past tense. Harishoin loshoin oise, when the emphasis is milira on the last syllable, it means the present tense. Oise. V'hasheini, but when the emphasis is on mila'el, on the second to last syllable, then it's l'shoin osisa, the past tense. Okay, so let's review. In the first pasuk, it says, v'yomar lach ma'shalom lo'i, v'yomar lachem shava, yovinei, Rachel, bitoi, bo'oho imatzayin. Rachel, at this very moment, while they were speaking, is arriving. The plane is currently landing. Okay, at this very moment, she is arriving. She is coming. When it says it the next time, while he was talking, she already has arrived. The plane has already landed 10 minutes ago. It is the past tense. Okay? So that is the difference. That's why it's essential. It's critical that the Baal Kriya, in this instance, even though most of the time El Milara does not make a difference in the translation of the word, okay, it does not make a difference, but in this case, in this context, it makes a difference. It makes a difference if it says boha or ba'a. Now, if you take that idea of Rashi and Chumash of last week's parasha and you plug it into this pasuk, what does it say? Pikudascha voha is the past tense. You already have been punished. Your punishment has already come upon you. Yoim mitzapecha, the day of your false prophets, kama, pikudascha va'a, your punishment has already come upon you. Radak, let's see the radak. Yoim mitzapecha, yoim nivyei hasheker, the day of the false prophets, sheheim mitzapecha, univyecha, shehayu Maftichim oischa al sheker, who promised you on sheker. Ato tire hayoyim ahu mahu. Now you will see what that day will be. Im toivim ra, if they were right or were they wrong. Kihine, behold, bikudascha va, kiloimar, bikudas avoinecha. It has already come. Ato, then he talks about the word ato is the present tense. Ata siya mivuchasam, mivuchas nevi hasheker, the confusion of the nevi hasheker, right, Salomar, ir buvam, confusion, minivuchim heim ba'aretz. Now, what is he saying over here? What exactly is Radak saying? Radak over here is he's the only one that really opens up the pasuk a bit more than everyone else, because the other mafarshim are they're much more cryptic. What he is saying is giving us the advantage of telling us the word the mitzapecha refers to the prophets. And what he seems to be saying over here is the day that the prophets have predicted. The false prophets told you, listen to us, just listen to us, give us money, and do averos, and do whatever you want, and everything will be good. In 5 years from now, you'll be multimillionaires, you'll be very successful, everything will be good. So they are making predictions. They're making predictions about what the future will bring. So we have to add a lot of words into the pasuk. The day that the prophets have predicted, that day that they are telling you will be a wonderful day, a beautiful day. Guess what? That day that they predicted has already come. And it has not come true the way they predicted. It has come true the opposite of what they have predicted. It's miserable. It's a curse. Then it goes on to say, Ata, going forward in the present tense, Sia mivuchasam, you'll first have confusion. So we're playing over here with three different, all three tenses. Hoya, hove, viyeh. The Malbim here, the Radak here, if we pay attention, is saying something very, very deep. The goal of a Navi is to predict the future.
One job. One.
This is very scary here. Almost everyone is sleeping. I went this past Shabbos to a Shabbaton, and with Tzoy Shabbos they had entertainment. Entertainment the whole Shabbos, but different type of entertainment. And the entertainment was a hypnotist. Hypnotist. In the room was about, I would say, 250 people came to the show. I didn't even want to go. I wasn't even planning on going. I figured I was already there. I was already near the room where I popped my head in to see what's going on. I walked in and I saw it was pretty intense what was taking place, and I didn't leave since then. It was mind-boggling what I saw. This fellow had an audience of about 250 people, and he basically tried to hypnotize whoever wanted to be hypnotized. And he was speaking to them, and within 3-4 minutes, 10 people, at least 10 people in front of him, were out cold. Out cold.
Would it happen anyway?
Unbelievable. Among these people was a Rebbe, a very, very chosh of a Rebbe, very good person, and a child, like a teenager, so. And then the hypnotist said, listen, I want to continue my show, what I'm going to do now. We had another hour to go, but I only want two people. I don't want to go and deal with 10 people that are fast asleep. And he asked the Rebbeim to select from the 10 people that were out cold who he should continue to work with. So they said, the Rebbe, you know. It's payday. Okay, we want him. And they took this cute little kid everyone likes, this cute little kid, and then he woke up everyone else. That was the most amazing thing in my eyes. That he was able to wake up the rest of the people. It's no kunst to put someone to sleep. I could also put people to sleep. But I can't wake anyone up. I can put people to sleep, but I can't wake it. That was the most amazing part of the show, that he was able to instantly wake up the other 8 people. What? Rabbi Akiva had the same problem. That's right. It was him with this. So then he took these two people, and it was just mind-boggling what he did with them. What he did with them, it's not really not to be believed. What I saw, what he did with these people, and it's very, very frightening. And there's no doubt in my mind that had the yeshiva known what this guy was capable of doing, they would never, ever, ever have asked him to come, hired him, because this is a dangerous game. As Rashiva said to me, I met him yesterday, I said, you know, I'm still spooked out what happened. So he says it was 100% keneged halacha, shaloika halacha, shaloika din, what happened. And he was apologetic that they had no clue it would come to. I mean, nothing terrible happened. Nothing terrible, terrible happened. But what? I don't really think it was embarrassing. I think it was more the danger of what could have happened. They asked Lamashal, he did a lot of things, just one little small example. He asked them both, who is your hero? Who do you want to be like? Who is your hero? What?
Who said Spider-Man?
So tell me, if someone would hypnotize me, okay, hypnotize me and put me into a deep state of unconsciousness, and I'm not aware anyone's in the room, and you're asking me a question, and there are 250 people, dead silence, yearning to hear the answer. Who is my hero? They want to know really what goes on in my mind. What kind of person am I? My subconscious. I am frightened. I don't know. I really do not know what I would say. I have no clue.
What did he say?
Oh, let me say. So tell me. What would you? What's the danger? Maybe I would say. I would say.
Superman.
I would say Trump. Maybe I would say a shiksa.
Which one?
Maybe. Would I say a religiously, I would say the Pope. I have no idea. I have no idea in my deep subconscious mind. No, I don't. My deep subconscious mind, what are my values? How much of a faker am I? How real am I? I don't know. I really do not know who I am. I honestly don't think I'm unique in this respect. I think every person also does not really know who they really are. And he asked them this question, and like, you really not should be asked that question publicly, right? Especially to a Rebbe. You know, if he says the wrong answer, his whole career can be over. So the little kid, you know what the little kid said? Trump. He said Trump. 14 years old. Big deal. Big deal.
That's what he hears from.
No. It could be. That's right. It very well could be Trump. And I think that's pretty good. I think that's.
What did the Rebbe say?
Oh, what did the Rebbe say? So you're not going to believe this. The whole place gasped. Like they had to go revive people. He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Oh, so what's wrong with
that? Nothing is wrong with that. But could you imagine if the Rebbe would have said something else? Could you imagine if it was me who was hypnotized? They would, you know, so you fake everyone out, you go wear a black hat, you wear your tits out, and you make believe you're so religious. Who knows what someone would say? It's frightening. He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Would you believe that? And then he said to, I don't like what he did. Then he said to them, Rav Moshe Feinstein is here in the audience. He's here. When you open up your, I want you to open up your eyes and look around this room and find him and go over to him and greet him. Is that, you're not allowed to do that. Don't tell me you're allowed to do that in halacha. You're allowed to do that? So he did his hocus pocus there, and he opened up his eyes, and he gets up. He's a very tall, good-looking fellow, this guy. And he walks around the room. Everyone is spooked out. He walks around the room, and he goes over to this Rebbe. There was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, Rebbe Itzkowitz. And he goes over to him, and he shakes his hand, and he hugs him, and he kisses him. It was really, really scary. The next day, I went to the Chaim Berlin dinner, and I saw the Rabbi Itzkowitz. So I went over to him, I said to him, Rav Moshe Feinstein. he laughed, and as I walked away, a person who did not see me, who did not even know I had spoke, the next second, another fellow walks over to him and says to him, Rav Moshe Feinstein. And probably the whole day, people have been going over to him and saying, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, he did a lot of other really. He did a lot of other spooky things. And why am I telling this all to you? Because something spooky happened. Because I'll tell you why. I don't understand for the life of me how in the world the whole time I was watching this show, it was too good to be true. I could not believe he did a lot of things there that blew my mind. I said, this is a fake. This whole thing it's been fixed. It's a show. This is Saturday Night Live here. They must have set us up before Shabbos. They practice. They put on a skit, right? This is they probably had it. They probably, and I was saying this, it was just too good to be true. It was going. That was one thing. They did even better things, incredible things. No way. They practice. This whole thing was a setup. It's just entertainment. At the end, they're going to say, "Live from whatever." Here we are, Saturday Night Live. Because it was just too good.
My sister-in-law gave birth to four children through hypnosis.
What?
She gave birth to four children through hypnosis.
While she was in safe hypnosis, someone guided her through the labor.
The doctor was hypnosis.
I believe it, right.
The doctor was under hypnosis?
No, the doctor, right. So I thought, the truth is, listen, I can't tell you anything for sure, but it appears after everything is said and done, at least in my mind, and after the thorough investigation that a lot of us looked into this, as after it was over, it was the real deal. Okay, I can't tell you for sure, but I think 99% it was the real deal. It wasn't a joke. So I don't understand, how was this guy able to do this? I know you go online, you can probably watch a million videos of these hypnotists. They have a, how do they do it? What's the technique? What is the technique?
It's dangerous. Though.
It's very dangerous.
For the mind, I mean.
That's right. It's very dangerous. That's correct.
What's going on in your subconscious that you can do it.
Very. How do they get you in a state of subconsciousness? How do they put you to sleep? How do they do it? How do they do it? So I went after it was over. I went over to this fellow. I got his car. I was talking to him, and as I was talking to him, now I am the last guy in the world that someone can hypnotize. I don't give in. You have to be able. You have to be able to let go. Yeah, that's the first rule. This Rabbi Epstein, who was the rabbi, he's not a guy that lets go. No way. I know him very well. He doesn't let go. Yet he got into him. He was able to do it to him. I don't know how. He was able to do it to him. I went over to him and I started talking to this fellow, the hypnotist. And as I'm talking to him casually...
He hypnotized you.
No, he didn't. Almost. He looks into my eye and he talks to me. And I'm telling you, it was his voice. There was something about his eye movement, his eye contact, the way he makes eye contact. But more than the eye contact, there is something about his voice. There's a frequency. There is something, and I really felt, I felt these vibes. I really felt something. I turned my eyes right away, but I saw that there's something about the voice that he had a koyach. Now that reminded me of a story here in this shir, which all of you triggered this memory today. There was once a fellow here who used to come to the shir. He came to the shir for a couple of weeks, and then I met him one day on the shir, and he says to me, "Oh, how are you?" And we start talking about the shir, and he says, "You know, I have to apologize. I stopped coming to the shir. I'll tell you why. There's something about your voice that puts me to sleep. When I go to other shiurim, I don't fall asleep. But when I go to your shir, there's something about your voice that puts me straight to sleep." So it is. It is a compliment, because you know how many people have a heart insomnia who need to go to sleep. I should go into the business. So when this hypnotist, he started talking to me, and his voice, it gave off these vibes. I cannot describe this. I don't know. That's how I felt. The vibes that were coming out of him as he was talking to me, it reminded me of the morning cola. about that what this fellow said to me, there's something about my voice that puts me to sleep.
Maybe we call him in next week.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You want to pay him? What?
There was somebody here when you were out. I think it was an orthopedic surgeon.
I know, right,
and
right.
And he did something like that here. People raised up their hands.
No, he was not a hypnotist. He did other things. He did other things, but he didn't do hypnosis.
There are people who have naturally monotonous voice.
He was religious?
He was a heavy smoker. Right. From 60 years. Until he was 50 years old, and he was very bad, sick about it. So he heard about this
hypnotist.
He went in with 10 other people in the room. He says he didn't make an eye contact with him. He just was speaking to first to everybody and then to everybody.
Saying, individually.
He says he persuaded him. He didn't tell him don't smoke. He came out from there and he couldn't take a cigarette anymore.
Wow. Okay, so after the show was over, many people went over to him and they were discussing with him in detail the koyach of hypnosis for exactly medical issues, smoking, addiction, all different phobias. So he basically said, and there was a fellow that I was sitting next to that seemed to know a lot about this. He probably went to one of these people for different problems. And also there was a fellow there, there was a woman there that her husband had a stroke. And she was asking him that can hypnosis, the therapist tell her all the time that in order for her husband to heal, he has to learn how to use new muscles. He has to do a lot of, the therapy is very, very difficult, and a lot of the difficulty is in the mind. The mind is very stubborn, doesn't want to really go through the effort of learning how to do these things. So they were asking him, so he basically said that going to a hypnotist one time is not going to help. You're saying different. He's saying, yeah, you'll go one time, we'll put you in a very deep state of hypnosis, and it'll tell you don't smoke, and the day, and then maybe for a week you won't smoke.
Yeah,
and after a week, business as usual.
But not for everybody. He went with his wife. His wife didn't smoke for a week or two, and she continues smoking.
Oh, exactly. And that's what he said.
He cannot smoke.
So everyone is. He said that if you do it a prolonged period of time, doing it one time or even a few times, he says that the benefits are very, very minimal. Very minimal. If you do it for a prolonged period of time, you keep at it. Then yes, then there is definitely benefit, but you know, it can be very expensive, and it also, like you said, it's dangerous. When you play with a person's mind, it's very, very dangerous. It's not a simple matter, okay? The mind, you go into the person's mind, you're dealing with their heart.
That's why you have to be licensed to do
that. License, you know, you're dealing, the mind is controlling your heart, your breathing, it's controlling. A lot of things are going on up there. You stop playing around the person's mind, you know, you can ruin a person. You can really damage a person, as person's health. Person's, it's not so simple. Okay, so it's not necessarily you go do hypnosis one time. All right, maybe it's acute. You go do this a prolonged. You do it 10-20 times. You know, you're playing with the person's mind. You don't know. You know, you can cause them a heart attack. You can cause them. Who knows what you can cause them to come do. So it's not a partial thing. Okay, I don't want to go sidetrack. I just said that to wake you all up and to make a point of saying is that it's not a kunz. It's not a kunz to be hypnotist. The kunz is to wake you up. That's the kunz. That's the kunz. The kunz is to wake you up. Okay. Now, so here we are over here. This halach over here. We're learning over here from the Radak. The Radak over here is telling us about the Yom Mishpacha. You know. Then, by the way, then Rabbi said they got into a very interesting discussion about all the charismatic people. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Kalbach, not to put them in the same category, but and talk about different people who are very, where did their koyach come from? So we all know, I mean, it's chashom to say, these are holy people. Question, did these people also have a koyach of hypnosis? I mean, what is hypnosis exactly? When this fellow, who you never heard of, he talks to you, he puts you to sleep, and then he controls your mind. He controls your mind. It's unbelievable. There were certain very charismatic people in Jewish history and in the Goyish world that had incredible influence over the masses. Yes. Is that koyach only from a koyach of Torah, of Kedusha, their message, their toichen? Is that what captured people's mind, hearts and minds? Or maybe there's something more. Maybe it's not just the content, the ideas, their charisma. Maybe there is something like, just like this hypnotist doesn't seem to have any special message. He didn't come with any message. He just came with one thing. I have the power to control your mind. There are people that control people's minds without even trying. They don't even realize that their charisma is not necessarily charisma because they have what to offer. They have a message. They have a spark of holiness, divinity. Maybe they don't even realize they possess some frequency in their voice or some unique ability of their eye movement to connect with people and persuade them to do things that the people don't necessarily believe in. It's a very dangerous question I just asked. No?
It's historical.
It's good at bed. You can evil as well. And Hitler. And, well, but also the effect of a group, of a mass of people, adds to that effect.
So these are very, when you see, you never thought about it in such a context, but when you saw something like this live, especially people that you know, if I go, I can go watch the whole day YouTube. I'm sure I can find YouTube. So go on YouTube, you'll find 1,000 videos just like this. I didn't even try. But you can find 1,000 videos doing. To me, I'll look at, yeah, very interesting. Wow. It doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know the people. I don't know them. I don't care about them. These people, I know them well. I know them well. And when they started talking, they were talking about things that we all share together. We're all in this I know these people, I know their lives and what they were talking about. And it's very, very different when you know the people. And really it's very disturbing to see how this guy, who no one ever saw him before, a firm guy, I don't know, he's a firm guy. I don't know how it happened. One thing is for sure, they had no clue it would be so powerful. If they knew, the yeshiva told me, the yeshiva himself told me that it was a big mistake, he said to me. He said we know it. And in short, they cut it out. When they saw how it was going, it could have got a lot worse. They cut out, like when he started asking certain questions, they told him no. They stopped him short on a lot of things. Overall, nothing happened. It was fine. Overall, no one's being sued. In that yeshiva anyway, no one. There's a lot bigger thing. What? He told you. He did tell you?
I heard about it secondhand. I haven't had a chance to speak to them, but I heard it.
Okay, it was. It really was.
I used to have a friend.
Hypnotize you?
Not me.
Other people.
Oh, dear. And I saw him doing it. He take rich here, a couple guys, he pay on this rich here. Take the evil one out, put his face on his couch, and stay on the couch.
Strange things.
It's not
normal.
You cannot cheat it if you're possible.
Yeah, okay, let's finish up the Radak. The Radak over here is saying, let's understand the interpretation of the Radak. The Radak over here is saying an incredible Chiddush. He's using the future, the present, and the past. Look at the beauty of the Radak. The Radak, by telling us the word Nitzapecha means the prophets, the Nevi Habal. The Nevi Habal, their expertise lies in predicting the future. And not just you hoping for the future. They're telling you what exactly will be in the future. Yoim Mitzapecha, the day that your false prophets have predicted that A, B, and C will happen. That's the future. It then says, Pikudoscho Vo'o, Rashi, Parashas Vayetze, the same exact word. Rivka Vo'o, Rochel Vo'o. And the emphasis is on the vase. Rashi says, whenever that's milara, it means the past tense. The past tense. It has already come in the past. And then the third expression of the pasuk is, ata is now the present tense. Ata siye mivuchosam. In this pasuk, we're playing with the future, the past, and the present. And it's not fun what he's saying. The prophets have predicted a glorious future for you. They predicted that in a year from now, everything's going to be wonderful. And the Navi Emes says, guess what? The tzara has already come. The Navi promised reward in the future. Not only is there not going to be reward in the future, the punishment has already arrived yesterday. You're already in a situation of suffering, whether you realize it or not. You're already under suffering, and the present is even worse. Ata now, from here on in, siye mivuchosam, you will really be in a lot of trouble. You will really be in a state of confusion. In essence, that's what the Radak says. The Navi Sheker predicted the future to be a time of wonderful events. Guess what? Forget about the future. Let's talk about the past. Because you were hoping for this future, do you realize what is going on around you, what has happened yesterday? It was a terrible tragedy yesterday. Do you realize what has happened yesterday? Do you realize the curse that has already come upon you? Yesterday has happened to you. You're worried about the future? Look what happened to you yesterday. And what about going forward? It's first going to get really bad now. The Pekuda means a visitation of evil has already come. But going forward, it's going to be a mavucha. A mavucha is even worse. You're going to be confused, in a state of bewilderment. You're not going to know how to proceed. And the joke is on you, because you're planning for the future. You're planning what's going to be 10 years from now. You don't have a foundation in the past to build upon that future. In other words, your future that the Navi predicts for you can only come true if you have the proper foundation. Guess what? Yesterday, that foundation was destroyed. So it's impossible for that future event to ever come to be, because the foundation was destroyed yesterday. Do you even realize that? And now you want to know what's going to be in the future? Sorry, buddy, the future is not pretty. It does not look good at all. Okay, so that's how the Radak appears to him shot in the Pasuk. Okay, so we've gone through these today, the Mitzudois, Rashi, with the Sifsei Zakenim and the Radak, and tomorrow, Mir Hashem, we'll do the Malbim and the Likutei Shas. Short break.